Welcome to Growing Up in America on KPFT Houston on Pacifica Radio with our host at... It's been a while because Bob hasn't been here for so long, so I'm not used to doing this. Let's start this all over again. Welcome to Growing Up in America on KPFT Houston Pacifica Radio with our host from Children at Risk, noted child activist Dr. Bob Sanborn, and policy expert Mandy Kimball. What do we have on tap today, Bob and Mandy?
John, I love you, man, but I've been working for children. I've been out and about working for children.
Where have you been?
So last week, did you know where I was last week, Mandy? I was out. I was touring some of the hurricane ravaged areas, right?
Yeah.
And how they're dealing with children and the recovery of children in those areas. It was amazing, right?
We'll
it was
give
just
us an update.
Yeah, it was sort of amazing thing to, you know, Houston, Beaumont, Port Aransas, Rockport, Aransas Pass. Just very interesting visiting those places. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's
always
good.
And so clearly you haven't forgotten, right?
It was a long week, too. I have to say it was a long week. Meeting with all the mayors in those places and stuff, yeah. So, but it should be a good show, though, right, Mandy?
It's going to be a fantastic show.
Plus, we're back in town, you and I,
yes.
Here together, doing it up. And certainly not least, right, it's Pledge Week.
That's right.
It's our favorite time.
It is our favorite time, and I know it's a favorite time of our listeners because it gives them the opportunity to call in and support Growing Up in America and KPFT. We
wouldn't be here
without you. That's right.
They want to be part of the magic. You can be part of the magic with us. And Mandy and I, what are we going to, you know, Mandy, right off the bat, we're going to match.
Yes.
You and I, we're both going to match, right?
Here we go.
So for every $100, you put $100 in, and I'll put $100. How's
Let's
that
do
sound?
It.
Does that sound good?
That's right.
And we're going to get to our goal, and we have our good buddy,
mm-hmm.
Dwayne Bradley.
Yay!
Dwayne the Brain Bradley.
Hello.
He's,
welcome back, Bob.
Dwayne the Brain.
Dwayne the Brain Bradley.
Is this known? Or did
no,
you just
I just,
make it up?
I okay. just made it up.
That's great.
And what's the bathtub joke, Dwayne?
Something about drowning.
Don't Dwayne the bathtub. I think I'm drowning.
You guys are so bad.
So, Dwayne is out there. Dwayne, we're going to hit our goal today, right?
Well, we actually need to go $130 over the goal to make up for the shortfall last week.
This is,
you know, Mandy did a pretty good job, but Brian,
thank you. And we had supporters call in.
We did.
It was good. Thank you very much for your support.
Yeah. People love to support the show, but mm-hmm. I feel like today it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be fantastic.
I think it's always a good one. When the two of you team up together and you're both present and accounted for,
yeah.
there's a little, you know, je ne sais quoi.
Dwayne, you can always count on me.
All right. Six thirty is the goal.
We're going to hit 6:30
today. Less than an hour to raise $630. That will...
And then we'll do a little match. Mandy and I will do a little match right off the bat, and that sounds good. So it's going to be a good show, and Dwayne's going to be the... And you have, like, a team of good-looking people in the back room there, don't you?
There's a bunch of guys out here.
Oh, never mind.
Good-looking.
So,
you have to be good-looking.
Good-looking man.
Here, but he's probably
the
best-looking
guy
in the room, and he's leaving, so...
Yeah.
713-526-5738, 713-526-5738, or donate online at kpft.org.
Yeah, we love the pledge time. We love the pledge time. Dwayne, we'll come back to you, and let us know. Let us know if people call in so we
you
can
bet.
Thank them. So,
all righty, then.
And all righty.
Start off today's show with Children at Risk's Assistant Director of the Center for Social Measurement and Evaluation, Kelly O'Quinn. And she's going to be talking about the significance
I think we're going right to Kelly
the
right
number
now.
Five.
We got the data music going on. Kelly's on the line with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kelly. How's it going? Hey, Kelly, hold on just a second, right? Hold on just a second.
Right.
Also on the show today will be Reggie Young after Datahead. He's the director of Food for Change at the Houston Food Bank. We'll be talking with him. And then thumbs up, thumbs down, Mandy.
You know what? Should we give children incentives such as money to read? You can call in, donate, and then give us your opinion.
Very good. And then Scott Van Beck will be in the studio. Dr. Van Beck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good. He is going to give us an update on the state of education in the great state of Vermont. So here is this icon of education, moved to Vermont. We're going to hear from
but
him.
But he can't
about
stay away from Texas.
But he's here in the studio today, so that should be good. Sounds like a great show, Mandy.
We're going to have a fantastic show today.
Very good. So you ready for Datahead?
Let's
Kelly,
do it.
Kelly O'Quinn's ready for Datahead.
Are you ready for me now?
We're ready for you now. Yeah. We're ready for you now. What's the number today? Long. What's the number, Kelly?
Five.
5 years.
5 years. Is that the age of your youngest son, 5 years old?
No, now he's six.
Oh, just missed out on that one. So what does it mean, Kelly O'Quinn?
5 years was correct. Nice job, Mandy.
Thank you.
It is estimated when talking to disaster recovery experts and community leaders that that's about how long it will take for communities to recover from Harvey. And in some cases, it'll actually take even longer than that.
Probably in many cases.
Yeah. Kelly O'Quinn was with me on my tour of our tour, Kelly, right, of Hurricane Ravaged Texas.
Our tour.
Kelly, from your perspective, most people, not everyone, but most people were getting that message, though, right, in these towns. They knew it was going to be 5 years, right?
Yeah, they really did. I think everyone was operating under the sense of that it's going to take 5 years. It's going to take time to recover, not just on the infrastructure side, but thinking about the impacts on health and on mental health and trauma, the impact it's having on, you know, families' income and savings or things like learning in the classroom. I think the challenge is that in other smaller communities, it's really easy to see kind of the recovery process happening because those are small communities and you can see the damage happening or you know everyone that's living in the area. But then you come to the greater Houston area and it's, of course, massive. And so I think it's a little bit easier to drive through town or to talk to your colleagues or your friends and not realize that this recovery process is still underway. It's not over.
It is ongoing. Well, and I think that people, though, do realize that it takes a while because, unfortunately, we have other situations that Katrina, Ike. I mean, some people are still recovering from those disasters.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
When you and I talked, Kelly, to a lot of these people, and do you get a sense, and what does the research show? Is a small town take the same time? You know, is it going to be the same amount for Rockport and Port Aransas to recover as Houston, or are there some differences there?
You know, I'm not sure about the time. I think they would probably take about the same time. I think the recovery process just looks different, right?
Yeah.
And so when you look at, you know, Rockport, Port Aransas, many leaders were telling us that they, I mean, quite literally were going door to door and knocking on everyone's door, or they're taking note of the, you know, the damage that their buildings or homes sustained from the wind. You can drive through and you can see where, you know, a roof has been ripped off. So they're kind of keeping tabs on that, and their economy is a little bit smaller. You know, in the Houston area, I think it's harder to drive through a community and see the flooding damage, right? And so I think we have to be more intentional in the way we go about making sure homes are in livable conditions, and really working with families, especially families from low-income communities, to make sure that they are recovering in a way that I don't think we're really working with them right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What about resources for these families and communities? So when I think of Houston and, you know, just the physical rebuilding of homes, buildings, roads, whatever it might be, to me it would seem easier to get people to come in and help you, right? Houston is more accessible. There's more people that live here that weren't damaged that could help. And then the same as even if we were to talk about mental health services, do these smaller communities have the resources for their mental health needs?
So on the mental health side, I think that the smaller communities definitely are in need of resources and need of support. I think sometimes they struggle to look past the infrastructure side right in front of them and kind of all the day-to-day things that have to get done and don't necessarily see the mental health work that needs to be done either through their schools or through other trained professionals. But thinking about other resources, whether it's home rebuilding or volunteers, the other smaller communities have actually been really, really lucky. And having, I mean, hundreds, maybe even thousands of volunteers come in to help with the rebuilding process of their homes and communities.
That's great.
Wow,
that's
very good.
There's still a lot to do, I know.
You know, it was interesting, Kelly, as we talked to people, you know, this whole idea of the five-year timeline, it's like educators seem to get that, right, when we're talking about children. They got this whole idea that it's going to take kids 5 years recovery. It was around the infrastructure that a lot of people thought, well, you know, if we could get everything built up in 2 years, we're recovered. When indeed, as we talk about kids, it's just a different deal.
You're so right. There's so many other facets that it's not just about having buildings or having places to go. And it's definitely a starting place, right? But there's, you know, learning loss from being gone. There's learning loss from the trauma experience. There's trauma to deal with. There are lasting health impacts. There's so many other things that I think we have to think about. And how do we build resiliency after the storm and then also before another potential storm comes?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess my ask is, everyone who is listening, right, there's an opportunity to help our neighbors. And maybe it's not your next door neighbor in your neighborhood, but right, our neighboring communities or whatnot. And I was in Austin last week meeting with legislative offices, and it was clear that Harvey is going to be a topic of this upcoming session. And so we need to make sure that we utilize our voices. Yes,
I think that's good, because we hear from so many people that there's this sort of Harvey fatigue. We can't let the legislature feel that.
Well, especially when half of the legislature, their districts were impacted. Right.
Right. Exactly. Kelly O'Quinn is associate director at the Center for Social Measurement and Evaluation, one of our top researchers. Kelly O'Quinn, thank you so much for what you do, and thanks for being on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. All enjoy right. the rest of the show.
All right. Bye. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
You're listening to Growing Up in America, 90.1 KPFT, Pacifica Radio. It's Pledge Week, Pledge Drive. Mandy?
That's right.
What would we do without a show like Growing Up in America on the air?
Life would not be the same.
You and I would have an extra free hour every week, but that's not the point. That would be sad, right? Yeah. It would be like it was an hour of emptiness, and the work that we do for children, the information that we give away around children, the guests that we have that fight for children, it'd be an empty spot for a lot of people.
It would. This show is extremely beneficial to listeners, given that they have opportunities to hear from multiple pediatricians, right? We'll have our mayor or city council members or legislators call
From around the country working on children's issues.
People around the country. What's working? What isn't? What's the conversation? We know that there's a lot going on at the border right now with families being separated.
Yeah.
What is
we
the
need
latest
to talk more about
what
that.
Can we do?
Yeah. And I think this idea, you know, children represent a third of our population, but 100% of our future. And we need to be talking about our future. We need to be talking about what are we doing to make sure that we're taking care of every single one of those children. When you live in a state like Texas, where 60% of all of our school children are low income, it means we're going to have to go above and beyond. We're going to have to do the extra work it takes to make sure that our children are taken care of. And that's what Growing Up in America is all about, making sure that we're discussing around what we do to make sure our children can be successful.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Dwayne, I know that here on at KPFT, here at 90.1, we really try to get people to be a part of this giving community, part of the radio community. There's a phone call.
Thank you for that phone call.
Mm-hmm. What do we do to encourage people to call in, Dwayne?
Well, first, we just present the value proposition that this is worth supporting. And, you know, it's as simple, really, as someone turning that internal light bulb on and making that realization. And it's a transformation process that is self-induced, but it can be enhanced, and sometimes it can be sort of led a bit by an enticement, because we do live in this kind of capitalist consumer society. And we certainly have a lot of inducements, and thank you gifts is what I will call it. And those would include a really wonderful educational package that would be this great Voices That Change the World 1,350 hours of American history that's been archived in Pacifica Radio. Over 60-plus years of just amazing, amazing information that you can get on a thumb drive, and we can get that to you for a basic $200 instant pledge on a Visa, nice. Discover, American Express, or MasterCard. It would be a wonderful thing to share with a student, or perhaps to enhance your own learning environment. Any progressive social movement over the past 60 or 70 years is included in this. So you'll find the women's rights movement, the student rights movement in the 60s is covered in depth, the environmental movement, the civil rights movement, and
hey Dwayne, how about music groups? Do we have any good musical things that
one or two of the better tickets
that we have that for a good donation.
Well, you know, for you, Bob, I would say, how about dinner and a show with Gary Puckett and the Union Gap?
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap.
They're going to be doing a Saturday night show at the end of September, and for a couple $100, you can get a pair of seats and a 3-course meal up at the Do-Si-Do.
Young girl, get out of my mind. Is that Gary Puckett in the Union Gap?
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Very good. Mandy, you know these songs, don't you?
I do know that song.
You do?
Okay,
mm-hmm.
There you go. How about or maybe Indigo Girls?
I love the Indigo Girls.
That's
okay.
Fun.
Well, have a pair left, and that's at the House of Blues right here downtown. Coming up Wednesday, first week of October.
Wow!
Are you singing another song?
Indigo Girls. What's that big song by the Indigo Girls, Dwayne? Do you remember that?
It's hard when I've got the Who in my ear. Anytime I've got music on anywhere, I can't pull another song out.
I have it on my playlist, that Indigo Girls song, too, that big one. So, anyway, there you go.
Those are just two.
Yeah, those are just two.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So people need to give us a call. And call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Dwayne's waiting. Mandy's waiting. I'm waiting. We need your support. This is the time. Pledge Drive is the time. We have a lot of loyal listeners out there. We know Arbitron Ratings show us have lots of listeners, so we need you to give us a call and be a part of it. Be a part of it all.
Takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's very easy. Mm-hmm. Use that fantastic plastic here in the Petro Metro.
Absolutely.
There you go. That's like Dwayne's line. Dwayne loves that stuff. So, hey, thanks, Dwayne, very much. And we'll look forward to hearing about some.
We heard the phone ring.
So we hope that there's a donation somewhere out there. So
there's an information call going on right now, but maybe we'll have someone to thank next time we chat. The phone number again, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Boom. Wow, very good. And Mandy, we're ready to match, right, Mandy?
That's right.
Yeah, we're ready
to do it. We need callers.
So are we ready for a little bit of another guest?
Yes. I like this song.
And we're talking with Reggie Young. And Reggie's with us, waiting on the world to change. He's doing it one step at a time as well. Reggie Young is with the Food for Change program at the Houston Food Bank, and he's our good buddy. Reg, how you doing, man?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. Mandy and I are excited to talk with you.
Thanks for joining us today. Happy Monday.
So
happy Monday to you as well.
Reg, I wanted to ask you, I know about the Food for Change program. I think it's fantastic. But in a nutshell, if people don't know about it, and people are not likely to know about it, what is Food for Change about?
So Food for Change is essentially Houston Food Bank's End Hunger strategy. And so if you think about it, food banks have been around for years, ever since the late 70s. And over the course of that time, we've been able to allocate a ton of food resources out into the community each year. But one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing is essentially that we're not seeing a large reduction in the number of people that do no longer need our services anymore. And so the idea behind Food for Change was essentially, we need to come up with ways to really address the root causes of hunger within our respective communities. And the only way that we can be able to do that is by addressing all of the other needs that clients have that really restrict them from becoming food secure. And so when you think about it, you know, there's a lot of other issues that our clients are dealing with outside of food. They may be dealing with issues with housing. They may have trouble with employment. They may have difficulty paying their bills. And so if these other issues are not met, it's unlikely for them to no longer need the services of the Houston Food Bank. And so what Food for Change does is partner with those organizations that address those other needs to see if we can leverage the monetary and nutritious value of our food resources in partnership with those organizations to really impact the lives of the clients that are participating in those programs. So in a lot of ways, when you think about it, Food for Change is essentially a way of connecting clients to both the programs that they need to improve their lives, along with the food resources to support them as they go through those changing programs.
That's right. And, you know, the food bank is such a wonderful resource in our community, and I greatly appreciate that you look at that children or families holistically, because the reality is it's not just that a family has a problem putting food on the table, right? So how can we meet the multiple needs of families so that they can be successful and so that children can thrive? And so thank you for really being a leader in the community to connect all the different sectors to support the Houston community. And I know that the reality, the Houston Food Bank doesn't just say, here's a food pantry, come and get it if you want, but they're right. reaching out to the schools, making sure that kids have food at school or when they go home. And it's all extremely important. So when we talk about food for change, what are some of that? Is incentives correct to say? Right.
I think from my perspective, I think what we really hope to do is really provide the food resources that support for individuals as they're completing those programs that really help to change their lives. I think one of the interesting things is that a person who may be working on their GED, right? They may have a certain amount of time that they can only dedicate to their GED because they may also have a job that they're working. But the challenge is that how do they justify the time to take away from their job to get that GED? And so we try to use the food resources as a means of saying, hey, you can go and participate in their program because once you complete their program, your ability to get a better job increases significantly. But while you're participating in that program, I'm going to give you this food resource that may be of value to you so that you can realistically have some source of resource to help you put food on the table.
And it's really a food scholarship in a sense, right, Reg? It's this is for you to do this. We're going to give you the scholarship, except the scholarship is made of food. It sort of lessens your grocery bill, helps you out a little bit.
That's it, Dr. Bob. That's absolutely right. The food scholarship is essentially a means of providing a steady food resource for individuals as they participate in those programs, with the idea that this will be a big enough support to help them as they complete those programs.
Are you seeing, Reg, a change? You know, are you seeing some results out of this program? Are there any particular areas where it seems to be more effective, or some that are least effective?
Yeah, so we're seeing some pretty good results. I think one of the things that, you know, at the base level, we were hoping to see was a reduction in food insecurity status,
yeah.
right? And so we've seen dramatic changes in a person's food security status to the point to where we are very optimistic that while trying to expand this program, we're going to have bigger impacts throughout our city. But one of the things that we hear a lot from our clients that participate in this program throughout the region is essentially that it does do what we're hoping it does, right? It is allowing people to take more of their time and focus it on their education, focus it on their health, focus it on developing their skill set so they can get that job that they want, and giving them an opportunity to take time away so they don't have to take on a second job, so they don't have to take on more hours at their current job, and really focus their attention on what they're trying to do and accomplish so that they can meet their goals.
Reggie, we are more than halfway through the summer. Hard to believe. It's flying by. Are there any particular unique challenges or programs going on during the summer that aren't during the normal school year?
Absolutely, yeah. So as you know, summer is one of the hardest times, particularly for children, to actually access healthy meals outside of school. It's really during those times where they're not at school where they are at risk for not having those meals. And so right now, our biggest push right now is for the Summer Food Service Program. And we are one of several entities around the region that provides summer meals for kids around the region. And you can actually go on Houston Food Bank's website, HoustonFoodBank.org, to learn more about where we have our sites at for summer meals. But the great thing about it is that this is a collaborative effort from many different organizations around the region. The city has programming through the parks. We have programs through some of the school districts. And so there's a lot of effort into really making sure that kids do not go hungry in the summer, and because they shouldn't.
You know, we talked about getting your GED, and I also know, like, colleges, but y'all are also partnering with the Harris Health System. Can you talk a little bit more about that partnership?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we're working with Harris Health to really develop what we're calling the Food Prescription Program. And essentially what the Food Prescription Program does is it connects a large amount of fresh fruits and vegetables and other healthy food items to people that are screened positive for food insecurity at clinical settings. And so essentially what we know is that a lot of times when you get your medicine, they tell you that you have to eat to have that medicine, right? Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's very important that people that are going to a hospital or to a clinic and are really working on improving their health have access to nutritious fresh fruits and vegetables so that they can improve their health status. There's no way that you can manage a chronic condition or another diet-related illness if you do not have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And so Houston Food Bank and Harris Health, along with many other clinics and hospitals around the region, are really focused on how can we reduce the amount of food insecure patients within the region.
That's excellent.
Wow. Reggie, you're fantastic. We love the work that you do, the work that Food Bank does. Thank you for all the work that you do. Reggie Young is the director of the Food for Change program at the Houston Food Bank. And thanks for being on the program, Reg.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Growing Up in America on KPFT, Pacifica Radio 90.1 FM. It's Mandy and Dr. Bob. Just doing it up for growing up in America, right?
That's right. And it's so fun to come here every Monday to talk about what's going on with our children. What's the latest news? How can we do better as parents to support our children? Sharing information on some of the challenges that people go through, law enforcement, topics that we cover, parenting, early education, human trafficking, health, all really important and things that we need to stay on top of.
People need to give us a call and support the program, support community radio, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. This is the time to give us a call. We want you to call and support community radio to support Growing Up in America. We have a little goal to hit. We know
we
that
can
we
do
will.
It.
We are going to do it because we have a lot of supporters.
We
out
can
there.
Make it happen.
We can make it happen. And the song from the Indigo Girls, Dwayne, shame on you.
Well, it's shame on you for not remembering it earlier, yes.
Shame on you.
Shame on y'all for trying to sing. I'm just
right?
Kidding.
No, really. That's a big shame. Microphone should mean talk, not sing, in my case. You're right, Mandy. Mm-hmm.
Just can't hold it back.
Yeah, I know. So we really need people to call, 713-526-5738. Hey, Dwayne, when think about, I mean, you've seen a lot of programs over the years, but there's nothing like Growing Up in America. It's unusual in any radio market.
Absolutely.
So tell us about, from your perspective, what makes this program stand out?
Well, the fact that you are already bringing a fairly large public platform to the equation through the work that you do with the school districts around the state, that has already generated a media persona of sorts for children at risk.
Right.
And, you know, the work that you do on that platform, in addition to the policy statements, the op-ed pieces, and all of that, putting all that together and then generating a weekly interactive participatory program really kind of takes it up another notch, because you can take those other angles that are already present and expand upon them, and it's frequent enough to where it becomes ever fresh.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think giving an outlet for superintendents, others that work with children day in and day out, a place for them to be questioned and to talk about the things that's going on in their life. Because for so many of us, we forget that, you know, public education, public safety, human trafficking, basic needs, these are things, health, these are things that are essential for the well-being and the future of our children, and we need to be talking about these. And it's interesting, I've talked to people who say that the dialogue around children's issues is at a higher level these days because of the work, Mandy, that we have done and that so many of in our field have done over the last decade to really raise this awareness around the import of our children.
That's right.
The needs around our children. So give us a call, 713-526-5738. Dwayne and the whole team are out there at Pledge Central waiting.
Yeah.
Any updates yet, Dwayne?
Well, yeah, I want to thank an anonymous member of the community for making a generous pledge, putting it on the fantastic plastic. And it doesn't matter if it's Visa, Discover, American Express, or MasterCard, but it matters that, in this case, Mr. Anonymi made that contribution, and we can thank you by your first name. We can thank you by your full name. We can just add you to that ever-growing family of KPFT members, the Anonymous family. And and so we have primed the pump toward our overall goal today of minimally $630 to make up for the $130 we were short last week.
Very good.
So we're on
Mandy keeps rolling her eyes every time you met. You know, I was out last week during hurricane, but Mandy really worked hard for that $130.
Well, Mandy and I were both here, so
that's right.
You know, we own it.
We contributed that money actually.
Yeah.
So, but thanks.
That
$130. So Bob, you need to play catch up now.
That $130 missing was your chunk from last time.
Oh, that was my chunk. Yeah. Okay, I get it. Give us a call 713-526-5738. Mandy, are you ready for a little thumbs up? Thumbs down.
You know,
right?
I love disagreeing with you.
I know you do. I hate it. Boom, when you disagree with me.
You can just agree with me. It's fine. Usually people do.
Yeah, people. No, everyone loves you. Come on, every time we do this,
uh-huh.
when people call in,
uh-huh.
they love you, right?
Well, I mean, so, I don't know if they do or not,
but
I appreciate the kind words.
So thumbs up, thumbs down. What's our topic today, Mandy?
Okay, so today is, should we give children incentives such as money to read?
Incentives to read.
Incentives
thumbs
to
up
read.
For incentives. We thumbs down against
more
incentives.
More kids reading. Should we pay them to do it?
Yeah. I'm gonna. You know what? I'm gonna ask Dr. Van Beck to come into the studio. He's
this
out there.
Exciting.
I see him.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna have him come into the studio and be a part of this. But what do you think, Mandy? When you think about incentives for children, should we be giving incentives for kids?
I think that the most effective way, and there's a lot of research to back this up,
yeah.
right, is that parents are the first teachers of children.
Mm-hmm.
And parent engagement, family engagement is extremely important. If parents are gone, having mentors, right, to be there and go with you.
Yeah.
So, yes, maybe paying a kid to read a book could incentivize them a little bit. But if we can start at home at a young age, reading to them, having them enjoy reading, that's where you get it. I find it very difficult if that is missing at home. And then there's these programs saying, hey, get a dollar for every book you read. Well, what if they can't read? What if it's frustrating? What if it is hurting them more internally than actually being productive? So I'm thumbs up to parents reading to their kids at a very young age, or a grandpa,
well, let's say,
or an aunt, or
say
an
all
uncle.
That happened. But let's say now we're into third and fourth grade. We want more kids to read. Do you think we should be giving them a dollar a book to read?
I think we should encourage them to read.
Do you think we should be giving them a dollar to read?
No.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think we should be. My school isn't giving them a dollar to read.
Right.
They should have the passion, right? And if the building blocks were laid down, that it would be there.
You know, I agree with you about parents, but every piece of research I see on this whole idea of some incentive, you know, if once kids are reading third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, you know, little incentives, they actually read a lot more. You know, the dollar a book, the pizza for every five books, that really helps. And I think when
the 100 book challenge, my kids are in the 100 book challenge.
See, there you go.
They get a cup.
They get a cup.
And a certificate.
Little incentive right there. I like these little incentives. In the studio with us, Dr. Scott Van Beck.
Yay!
Master of New England Education.
You got a new hairdo. I like it.
It's very short.
I do.
So what are you thinking, Scott, on this one? Do you think
I'm totally thumbs up, Bob.
Yeah? You're with me on this
one? Yeah, whatever works. And so sometimes you have to start extrinsic before you get intrinsic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So not all the time is a young learner just going to pick up a book and love to read. And so whatever incentive
gets them there.
Can, yeah, absolutely.
Who's
you do a little
saying
incentive
that paying
and get
them
to that point.
Is going to make them love to read?
Well, I don't know.
The research says it does.
No, it says that they might read some more books.
But you know, whatever works. So
What's the key to getting kids to love to read? Reading more. Is it not?
Well, I don't know. Probably what kinds of books.
Maybe.
I think
that's a big part of it, too. Yeah.
I think I know my kids love the special time one-on-one. I mean, that's our let's sit down and read a book and talk about the book.
Kyler likes a good Davy Crockett book, doesn't he? Alamo book?
He does, but he's quite frustrated because he's read them all.
He's seen them all
he's
now.
He's the public library.
There's no more Alamo books.
That are age-appropriate.
Just Write Books is a big movement, right?
Yeah.
So if you can, like, click into a kid's passion
uh-huh.
and pick up on that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. you're going to have a reader.
Yeah, yeah. How did you, I mean, you've had a lot of school children that come through your classroom, schools over the course. How did, you know, what was the best way that you got kids to read, Van Beck?
I would say that the best way is a passionate teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Have an adult role model so that the children can see that. And then very quickly, I think peer groups really help, right? Of 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds seeing other 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds love to read.
Wow. Do you remember that passionate teacher that you had? I mean, I remember a fifth grade teacher who would go on and on about, Bobby, you're going to love this book. And I loved that, right?
So my teacher was my fourth grade teacher, Miss Russell, and she read the Little House on the Prairie books, which, by the way, I don't know whether you've noticed, but recently came under attack because folks now don't like how Laura Ingalls Wilder portrayed Indians and other folks in the book.
Yeah.
So now she's actually on some folks' ban list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I'd kind of like to see what Miss Russell would have to say about that.
Yeah.
Miss Russell's passed on.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of books, right, are sort of politically incorrect now, right? We're sort of in a new age in some ways, right?
Yeah, I think whatever it takes in terms of getting kids.
Because that was a nice series that people
reading.
Really loved, those little,
yeah, for
little
sure.
House in the Prairies. Did you read those, Mandy?
I did.
You like Nancy Drew best, though,
didn't
you?
I did, yeah.
It absolutely continued Michael Landon's career, too. Because he was
Little Joe was
washed
out. And
he was washed up after Bonanza.
And what was his other show, though? An angel show? What was that angel show?
Yeah, some sort angel of angel.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so Mandy is a thumbs down to incentives, though big on the parents.
I don't think it hurts. I just think there's better strategies.
Yeah, and I'm a big thumbs up, and you're a big thumbs up. And,
I am.
McCurchy, how about you? What are you thinking on this one? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh,
she's a thumbs down.
Shannon's down. We need people to Shannon's call in big, and donate so they can say I agree with Mandy.
She's a reading expert, too. Mandy, I mean.
All right, so do we have time to talk about the donation? Because driving in, I heard you all, talking about matching. Matching what?
We
what are you
going to
match?
We said every $100 we'd match another $100. You want to?
All right, so I'm going to give $200.
$200?
Yeah. So what are you going to match? You're going to match $100 and $100.
There we go.
So now we're at $400.
There you go.
Plus whatever the collars do, right?
Yeah. So $200 from Van Beck. So Shannon, if you could come in and get his credit card, that'd be great. You want to go ahead and make sure that
remove
that
your
in
wallet,
there.
Please.
Now, Dwayne knows I'm good for it. Dwayne, right? Dwayne, you know I'm good for it.
You bet.
Oh, very good.
All righty.
So there's our thumbs up, thumbs down. And Dwayne, how are we looking out there? 713-526-5738. If you want to join Scott Van Beck, Mandy Kimball, Bob Sanborn, and their pledges, we want you to go ahead and give us a call, 713-526-5738.
You want to.
How's it looking, Dwayne?
We're looking $200 better than we were at the start of this.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we need a couple
Invite
of callers.
More people in with you, Bob.
Yeah. That's right.
Dwayne, come on in, Dwayne.
Come into the studio, Dwayne.
Oh, no.
So 713-526-5738. Scott, from your perspective, you've worked on this before moving to Vermont. You worked on our program over the course of a number of years. I would say, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, you were like a regular, right? You were subbing in for me all the time.
I was, and then something happened. I think I slowed down my talk.
I think we switched.
That was the feedback that somebody gave me.
I
wasn't talking
producers.
Fast enough.
We switched producers, and all of a sudden they forgot about you. So, and,
which is easy to do.
I haven't forgotten about you.
No.
I'm
Mandy
excited.
We're excited
that you're here. So you left. You moved to Vermont.
I did.
And then Dr. Bob was like, I saw Scott, and he's going to be on the show. I'm like, but I thought he left, but you're here.
But I'm back.
You missed us.
Yeah.
Texas.
Well, I was.
You missed the Texas
I was looking
heat.
At the weather, and I saw that it was going to be 105 to 115
so you thought,
in
I need
Houston.
To get down.
I need to get
place.
Down back into that weather.
What the heck?
Right?
I'm going down there.
Absolutely.
So from your perspective, Scott, sorry we digress. This program, I mean, what does it bring to Houston and to the country, the Growing Up in America?
All right. So honestly, this is not set up.
Okay.
I'm up in Vermont, and I start telling people that we have a Pacifica radio station, and they are going bonkers over that. I guess they used to have a Pacifica radio station in Vermont.
Yeah.
It went away.
Yeah.
And they are so jealous.
Really?
Because they have like so-called independent radio stations.
Yeah.
But
not Pacifica.
I was telling Shannon, it's more around indie music instead of politics, culture. And when I told them that there's a place called KPFT, the Vermonters went crazy.
Wow.
Well, they can always tune in.
And donate. They could donate right now.
Yeah. Well, so what?
But that's surprising that Vermont doesn't have access like that.
Well, I think they value. Absolutely value that independent thought. But no, they don't have a radio station. I don't know of a radio station in New England like.
I think
KPFT.
That the nearest one, Scott, is in Blue Hills, Maine.
Oh, Blue Hill, Maine.
Okay.
WERU.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from your perspective, though, Scott, a program like Growing Up in America, what does it bring to our community?
Well, you know, Bob, I honestly, I don't know whether Texas deserves a program right now like Growing Up in America.
Mm.
What a special program to spend an hour talking about what's right for Houston's children, Texas children, America's children. But we've talked about this before, right, Bob?
Yeah.
A lot of that, I think people listen to, and I don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
But it sure doesn't go into action.
Not enough action. That's
not
for
enough.
Sure, right?
Not
I think
enough.
You and I have talked about when we look at the state of children, it's almost like, two steps forward, three steps back sometimes, right? We've seen movement forward in certain areas, but it's so hard. It's so hard to make that progress. But this is what a program like Growing Up in America does. It makes people aware of how can they be involved, how can they understand what's going on, who are the players in what's going on, and how can we all work together to make this a better place for children?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just kind of connecting it to Vermont, Vermont cares about their children. There's some issues in Vermont right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, a big question is who represents the public when it comes to children?
Yeah.
Is it a state legislature? In Vermont, that is a big thumbs down, right?
Wow.
Their answer would be more local control, right?
Yeah.
So school boards, town meetings, you know, so forth and so on.
713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Dwayne, you'll let us know as people call in?
We'll ring that pledge bell ASAP.
Very
713-526-5738, 526-KPFT.
Give us a call. We need those pledges, guys. We need those pledges. Scott, do we have a little music for Scott? Do we have something for him, for his...
introduction?
We do. I thought I'd bring a little... winter flavor. Yeah, I switched.
So
do you know what this song is from?
Is this White Christmas?
It is. Do you know the part in White Christmas where they're singing this?
Is this when the barn doors open? And,
no.
No.
I don't think
they're
I've
on
seen
the train.
This.
They're on the train.
Oh, the train heading
going
up
to
Vermont.
Vermont.
Yeah.
Pine Tree, Vermont.
That I'm not.
Which is a totally fictional place.
Is
I already
this movie
looked
in
it
color?
Up. They colorized it.
It's colorized now.
Yeah, I think it was in color.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it...
No, I remember it in black, but I could have had a black and white TV.
Holiday Inn was black and white.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing them up. But interesting. So that Pine Tree, Vermont. And so this was... but your old song used to be School's Out by Alice Cooper.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So to get into Vermont, this whole idea of Vermont, I mean, the schools, to me, we'd think they're better in Vermont. Are they better in Vermont than they are in Texas?
Okay, so let me tell
you,
one of the things that I've learned 3 weeks in Vermont, but I've learned this.
But if you're going to be our regular correspondent from New England, though.
You want me to do that?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk to your listeners and see if
that'd
be an interesting.
They're not calling in right now with pledges,
exactly.
But hopefully they'll call in.
I thought once they knew that Van Beck was back in Houston, the board would be lit up.
I thought that it would be Mandy and I together, they'd know.
All right, so this is what I've learned about children in Vermont. If you're poor in Vermont, you're better off being in Vermont than a state, let's say, Texas.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
And the reason is you can be poor in the Montpelier School District and about $10,600 comes with your head when you walk in the school door.
Oh, wow.
Right? So
how does that
the
compare
value,
to Texas, Scott?
Well, I think
Are you talking about how much the school spends per student?
Yes, exactly.
Per pupil expenditure, right?
Isn't it like around
I think it's like 5,000.
5,500 here, right?
Yeah, it goes to HISD schools.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So, so if you're poor, it's a good place to be. Now, not a lot of racial diversity, but a whole bunch of economic diversity.
Yeah.
Now, you spend some time in Maine. Right.
And Massachusetts, yeah. Remember, Hampshire College.
And you see that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how about for the best students? Here's the difference, right? If you're a top student already, you know, we have some of these magnet schools. There's nothing like that up in Vermont.
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do big-time investment around their public schools. Now, I'll tell you another thing that I learned about Vermont. Vermont has the least young people of any state in the country.
Really?
Wow.
And this has become a crisis, so much so that the governor has addressed this.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, some of the thinking is around Montpelier. Is there a way to...
And that's the capital, Montpelier.
It is. Yeah, 7,000. It's the smallest capital.
7,000 people.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. So that's like my neighborhood.
We live two blocks from the capital. It's a wonderful little capital building. Uh-huh. But the thought is,
bigger in Texas.
How do we best keep kids in Vermont, and how do we get kids
to come
to Vermont?
So families.
Well, families, but I also think that a lot of colleges and universities do a lot of recruitment, and I saw a statistic that 75% of folks that end up going to a university or college have already had an experience, like a summer experience, on that campus. So it's very rare that someone just basically says, I'm going to go to the University of Iowa, which is my alma mater, by the way, without visiting the University of Iowa in some capacity.
Right. And the same is for St. Michael's and for the University of Vermont.
Yes.
And for Marlboro College.
Yes.
And some of these great schools.
So the thinking is if we can get some kids out of Philly, New York City, Boston, bring them up to Vermont for an out-of-school experience. And then let them go back in. And a lot of those kids are going to go back to bad schools. But then in terms of online, get some sort of mentoring, some tutoring support for those kids so that they can make it through the school year. I think that might be an idea.
You're talking very few children. What is the student population in Vermont? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know that.
You've only been there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah, I think there's like 4 million in the entire state.
Oh, in the entire state.
People.
So think
a million and a half people, children.
Right.
A
yeah. So children. Think about Houston, and that's Vermont.
Yep.
In terms of population.
Except I know Houston's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I know one of your passions, Scott, is technology, right? A bit, or out of the classroom experiences. Does Vermont have anything going down that pathway?
So way, way more exponentiary. Learning. Did I say that right? Expeditionary? Yeah.
Experiential.
Getting kids out in their environments. And
they love the outdoors and the environment of
Vermont.
They do.
Yeah.
The whole idea of outdoor education is huge.
They're so proud of that.
Yeah.
Because it's not 110 out there.
Well, it's not 110.
Pretty cold in the winter, though.
20 below.
Yeah.
Right? And so they don't really bat an eye sending their children out, into that weather if the learning experience is worthwhile.
What do you see a difference? I mean, it's early for you there, I know, but when kids sort of bring the outdoors as part of the classroom, it's got to make a difference for those kids and for the culture that's created up there.
Yeah, I think I just left a Education Reimagined meeting in Burlington, Vermont, and one of the things that we talked about was the importance of allowing kids space and also exploring their passions, because I don't know about you, Bob, but I didn't show up to school to do math, right? I would show up to school to do other things, and then, oh, by the way, Scott, we want you to learn some math.
Right.
Well, as long as I have my passion, okay, I'll learn some math for you, right?
Yeah.
As long as I can get...
And hopefully the teacher will be nice. That might make a difference a little bit, right? Nice teacher in math.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that relationship, really matters to kids. And so, again, I think in a community like Montpelier, you'll see kids establishing relationships much more outside of school, because the community is literally within blocks.
Right.
So you juxtapose that with where some of our schools are in Houston, and that's tough to build that dynamic.
Yeah, very good.
It's hard. You know, when I think of Vermont, I think of just different opportunities. So what kind of opportunities do you see people or children, students in Vermont having besides that Texas kids don't? So,
oh, that's a good question.
I mean, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about outdoor experiences. Is there anything that's incentivized or that isn't blocked like it is in Texas?
Yeah, so one of the big pushes right now from the governor's office, which is similar to some of the talk, not necessarily in Houston, but in rural Texas, is consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont has hundreds and hundreds of school districts that might have 400 to 500 kids. And so they spend a lot of money on their children. But the governor is asking the question, do we need to become more efficient on how we distribute that money?
From her perspective, it must be there's always room for efficiency, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I was asked that question a lot here in Texas, you know, and a lot of my school friends would say, you know, we just need more money. And I would add, yeah, you might need more money, but you probably need to spend what you're getting a little better.
Yeah, very good. You ready for a little Final Four at 54 with Scott Van Beck? And we do a final pledge for the afternoon?
Absolutely. Okay, so first question is, what was your favorite toy to play with as a kid?
Favorite toy, Van Beck?
Oh, without a doubt, a basketball.
Yeah.
Very good. What was yours, Mandy? What was your favorite toy?
I played basketball quite a bit on the driveway.
Yeah.
I also had my Cabbage Patch dolls, too.
Cabbage Patch. There you go.
What did you want to be when you were growing up?
Teacher.
A teacher?
I learned that when I was 9 years old. I taught four-year-olds how to swim. And I'm sure that's highly illegal, you know, these days. You know, a whole bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
But, man, I got the biggest kick.
And you went to college. You went to college to be a teacher, right?
Well, actually, my first year, I wanted to be a banker.
Oh,
now,
really?
Could you actually see me as a banker?
You were a teacher, and you were a basketball player.
I was.
There we go. Yeah. Well, follow through. What was your favorite book to read as a child?
Favorite book, Van Beck?
Oh, well, it's got to be what we talked about earlier.
Little House on the Prairie books.
Yeah. And then the final question today on the Final Four at 54, your favorite TV show, Scott Van Beck?
Oh, you know, a favorite TV show when I was a kid was this show called Emergency. Do you remember Emergency?
I remember.
About the L.A. paramedics?
No, I do. What was the name of that doctor in Emergency? Was it like Chad? Oh, no, that was Medical Center.
That was Medical Center.
Yeah, what was Emergency?
The two
I watched it in Spanish. Emergencia. Puerto Rico is in Spanish.
Yes.
Emergencia.
Yeah.
I remember it, so I loved. Do you remember Emergencia?
Nope.
Nope, Mandy?
Nope.
Mandy wasn't even
not
born when Emergency was on TV, Van Beck.
Or when TV was in black and white. But y'all two are really connecting well today.
We're only a few years older than you, Mandy. Mm-hmm. Just a few years older. So in our final couple minutes here on the air, this is the time for you guys to do some final pledges. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. We have Dwayne Bradley and Pledge Control.
Yes, sir.
And how are we looking? What's our total right now?
It's not too terrible, but it could be a lot better. And, you know, something we have not pointed out is that today is the only day we're doing this as a little trio. And next Monday, the pledge campaign is over. It's ending on Thursday. So
now's the time.
So this is it.
The summer sizzle is ending for Growing Up in America in a matter of 7 minutes. 713-526-5738. Visa, Discover, American Express, MasterCard. 713-526-KPFT.
So this is our good friends, Eileen and Steve and Barbara and Debbie, and all the people that give on a regular basis. This is the time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know, because we need your support. 713-526-5738. Scott Van Beck is a regular supporter. Mandy Kimball, regular supporters, and we need you to be a regular supporter. Mandy and I do this, we volunteer, right?
Labor of love. Yeah, we're all volunteers here at KPFT.
For a decade.
I am.
Yeah, we've been for a decade we've been doing Growing Up in America.
That made me
right?
sound old right there.
Yeah. But you started right after high school, right?
So, but it's fun, right?
It is.
It's
fun
to come in and talk about kids for an hour.
No, we love it. You know, this is our passion. This is what we love to do. We love letting people know what's going on in the state legislature, what's going on in our city, what's ridiculous that's going on. How do we protect families? How do we protect kids?
What's working? What resources are available? What cool programs should parents be looking into? It's
and
all great things.
I mean, it is one of the things I love is that when you and I go and we visit some of these child serving organizations, they all say, hey, we listen to Growing Up in America every week. And I love that idea that that people who serve children are saying, we love that there's a TV a radio show out there for us.
And so during Pledge Drive, the question is, how much is that worth?
Right.
That's right. Right.
It's worth $200 to me.
It
Thank
is.
You.
It's worth $100 to you, Bob. Yeah. $100 to you, Mandy.
Yeah.
713. So what's it worth to Houston? Come on, Houston.
713-526-5738.
KPFT.
713-526-KPFT.
KPFT. 526-5738. Visa, Discover, American Express, MasterCard, cash, check, money order, electronic funds transfer, credit, debit, you name it. You just make the call. We'll do it all. 713-526-5738.
Can we get one more call before we sign off?
I'd love for one more person to give us a
call. If you're driving, you can call. Always call in later and say you want to donate or pledge.
And the World Wide Web, kpft.org. Hit the donate button in the right top of the page and then scroll down. Pick the show you want to support. And if it's not Growing Up in America, make it Open Journal. Hey, thanks. 713-526-5738. 526-5738.
Did you just do that?
Yeah, very good. So we're waiting for your phone calls.
We're looking at the screen right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're waiting for those calls to come in. This is, as been pointed out, a unique show. And we know a lot of you like to call in. And a lot of people donate, and they donate across to many different shows because people love KPFT. But we have loyal listeners. And we want them to donate today. And we so appreciate the anonymous, the big anonymous gift early on in the show. Mm-hmm. We thank Scott Van Beck for being here and for his donation, as always. This is the show that tends to make its goals, but we need your help. We need your help to get there. 713-526-5738.
We're like a big family here at KPFT, and every program has a goal. Together we reach those goals show by show, hour by hour, and we get to power a 100,000-watt broadcast facility in the fourth largest city in the United States, commercial-free, powered by the people, in our 49th year of doing it. As Scott mentioned, you know, up in Vermont, there is not this. This is rare. This is special. This is ours here in the Petro Metro. So make that call. Show us you're there, that you care. You got something to spare. You're willing to share. Keep us on the air. 713-526-5738.
He's a poet, and he does know it. You know, that's the thing. Hey, thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of Growing Up in America. You could always make those donations all throughout the year. A lot of us do. We're regular givers. You can be that person as well. We want to thank you for taking care of kids. Hug your kids. We do this each and every week for children, and we hope that you'll do it for children as well. Hey, we'll see you next time here on Pacifica Radio.